Welcome to At the Library with your host, Diane Barker, local author and conference speaker. For comments and questions about today's program, call 423-878-6279 or email whcb@thelibrary@gmail.com.
We've been talking with Judy Dunnigan, speaker, Bible teacher, blogger, and author who works for Moody Publishers as an acquisitions editor for women's Bible studies and books. She's been discussing her new book, The Loudest Roar, Living in the Unshakable Victory of Christ. Spiritual warfare is a topic that many Christ followers don't know much about, and some who have a little knowledge are afraid to talk about it because they are afraid it will open their lives to demonic attack. How can we, as Jesus followers, best resist temptation when the devil, we know the devil is throwing it at us just to sidetrack us?
Yeah, I think this is one of the main ways the enemy comes at us. And I heard someone say, and I can't remember if it was a sermon or something I read, where how tricky the enemy is, because he tempts us often with an area of sin that is tempting for us. And he wants us to believe that, oh, it's not that bad. And, you know, the consequences aren't that bad. Just go ahead and do it. And then you may give in to that sin. And then he comes in with accusations and shame. I have counseled so many women who are not able to walk in their victory in Christ because of shame of things they chose to do years ago. They don't believe that Jesus has forgiven them. And a lot of that is the accusations of the enemy. He's the accuser of us. And that's where we need to stand firm against that with the truth of God's word and to use the weapons that I've been sharing to fight him, the enemy, when he comes at us. My dad talks about in his book, both the adversary and the other book, Warfare Praying. And so I've included this in my book as well. When we're struggling with temptation and sin, he first talks about the walk of honesty, where we're just honest with the Lord. We just say to him, I know I'm capable of what I'm being tempted to do because of my sin nature. And then because of that, then there's a walk of truth where you stand in the truth of who we are in Christ today and what he accomplished on that cross for us when it comes to our sin. And then you walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and choose the fruit of the Spirit over the sin that is tempting you. So it's often a battle, but that is where you can use your weapons, all the armor and the word to fight those temptations. And what I love is we're told that when Jesus walked this groaning earth, he was tempted in every way that we are. So he knows when we're tempted, and he has provided a way of escape, and he has made a way for us to escape temptation. But I also love that he's forgiving. And so when the enemy comes at you with shame and even the thought, well, why give up the sin? There's no hope. Those are lies from the enemy. And just run to him. We're told in Hebrews that his throne is the throne of grace, and he has mercy and grace for you if you run to him to ask forgiveness for the sin choices you're making.
I had the honor of meeting your father, Mark Bubeck, a best-selling author of several books focusing on spiritual warfare, the Christian's armor, and prayer. How has his legacy impacted your own life, even the writing of your book?
Oh, I love that question, Diane. I think I've told you before how very close I was with my father. He passed away almost 5 years ago now, and I was able to be by his side along with my sister and my husband. And he was such a man of God and such a dear father, a very loving. And like I said earlier, he lived what he taught. He was drawn into writing and teaching about warfare back when he was a young pastor. He had a deep burden for revival and would walk through his church early morning. We lived in a parsonage right next to the church, and he'd get up early and just really groan for revival in his own life and his congregation, his family, in our world. And the Spirit impressed on his heart that he needed to understand warfare and how to fight the enemy, because the enemy would try to thwart revival at all costs. And so really he didn't know much about warfare, and this would have been back in the late 60s. There weren't any really biblically balanced books on the topic, and so he was obedient to the Lord and began to search the scriptures, began to press into finding mentors, other pastors who were ahead of him, and knew about warfare. And so he did that for a few years. And then he wrote The Adversary back in 1975. And I was about 12 when he first started writing the book. And I was actually under a lot of attack from the enemy as a middle schooler. Unfortunately, at slumber parties, I had dabbled with seances and levitation and Ouija boards. And it was, I was really naive. I didn't understand that how really awful that is. And God's word warns against that. And so I had given ground to the enemy, and he just stepped up his attacks at me. And then, of course, as my dad was writing the book, that escalated. And part of my story is in The Adversary. I'm so grateful that my dad taught me through that battle how to use the sword of the Spirit, God's word, and prayer, and the armor to fight the enemy. He walked me through that. Of course, he would pray over me in the night when I would be fearful to even fall asleep. And it was quite a battle, but it was a victorious story. And I've lived with those truths and that understanding these many decades now that I'm a grandmother. And I can testify that understanding what it means to stand in our victory, to wear our armor, to fight the good fight against the enemy with our God's armor and weapons, that the victory is ours, that Jesus has already won for us. So I'm on the board of the ministry he founded, which is called Deeper Walk. And after his death, I started speaking more at some of their warfare conferences. And through those messages, God opened the door for me to write this book. And it's just a blessing to be able to do that, knowing it's even part of my dad's legacy in my life.
When did you really come to understand personally about spiritual warfare? I guess that was when you were, you said, in middle school, right? So this was the thing that really taught, gave you firsthand experience with the warfare?
Yes, yes. That was my early introduction to it. It was part of my dad's story. He was writing the books and teaching on it. I sat under his teaching, of course. But then I would say probably in my young adult years, after going to Bible college and getting married, it was almost like easy street for a while, where everything was going great. And I probably wasn't as deep with the Lord as I could have been in terms of a lot of the time alone with him. And I think I let my guard down. And it was, I would say, starting when we lived in Beijing, China, when I shared that story already about my daughter being so ill and the fear that was consuming me. And then probably about 10 years after that, where the enemy just stepped up his attacks, even on our family. And I share a little bit about our marriage story in one of the chapters in my book, where there was a season where we weren't sure we were going to make it. And I'm not saying that was all the enemy, but he was taking advantage of that season to where if we had chosen, we could have ended our marriage. And we knew, both of us knew, we came to this crisis where we knew that the enemy was coming at us as well. And so we chose together to fight the enemy in our marriage. And so that's where we began to really pray. We would pray written prayers. That's something my father's books have. He has written prayer patterns to learn how to pray on the armor, to stand in victory, to pray scripture. He has one on Psalm 91 that I share in my book. And then I've written a prayer on the armor. And these are really prayer patterns to learn how to pick up the sword of the Spirit in prayer. We started to do that over our family and our marriage and had great breakthroughs. Of course, we also got counseling. I recommend counseling, you know, if you're dealing with severe anxiety or depression or a crisis in your marriage, to get a Christian counselor. And that was part of our battle plan. But if I asked Rick before I wrote the book, if I said, sweetheart, if we didn't understand how to fight the enemy and use the weapons of our warfare, do you think we would have made it? And he said, no, actually, he didn't think we would have either. And so that's part of our passion to get the story out and the message out in my book. And he helped me write that chapter. And we're praying that God will use it to encourage others to just stand in the victory that Jesus has for them over their families and their own marriages.
Well, as I was preparing for the interview, I had written this question. Don't you think understanding and acknowledging that we are in a spiritual battle is the key to victory, and especially as it relates to marriage? And so, yes, you've answered that question, right?
Yeah. And to what you asked before, you know, and it's so true. I've been told this by even a pastor once, like, I'm not even going to worry about the enemy or learn about how to pray in, you know, scripture, the armor, because I get myself into enough trouble on my own. And it was like what you said, like, I don't want the enemy to step up his attack. Well, that's all the lies of the enemy. Of course, he wants to keep us from living in the victory that Jesus has already won for us. There's a quote in my dad's book, Warfare Praying, that I love. It goes along the lines of, the enemy roars to make us afraid, but our purchased right is courage to resist him. And that courage is only because of Jesus Christ and what he's won for us. And I've heard from many women, especially of late, that they're feeling discouraged, like the enemy almost has more power than our mighty God. As you look at our world, or even in our community, I live in El Paso County in Colorado, and we have one of the highest suicide rates in our county, in the whole country, even though it's so beautiful here. And so you've got suicide of teenagers happening, and just, I don't have to name all the things we're seeing in our world. And so the enemy is stepping things up, yes, but our God is still the victor. Our Lion of Judah is still on the throne, and we need to press into the truth that the victory has already been won and live victoriously with Jesus. You know, he hems us in from all sides. That's what I love about the armor. If you look at the armor, it's covering you from the top of your head to the tip of your toes, and he hems us in from behind and before, on each side and above us and below us, and he indwells us. He is our covering and our victory. And so just standing in that is what we need to do, so that the enemy isn't able to throw lies at us that we should just ignore him or even fear him, because we are victorious through Christ.
Yes. Well, your dad wrote this: the battle is real and you are involved whether you like it or not. The battle will not go away. Ignoring it could be disastrous. Well, what would you say to someone who does not have very much knowledge of the battle? Your book is a good starting place to learn, right?
Yes, right, right. Yes, my book comes out September 6th, and it's now up on Amazon for pre-sale. Again, The Loudest Roar. But I'd encourage them to check out my father's books. If they want to go to moodypublishers.com and just type in the name Bubeck in the search engine, that's B as in boy, U, B as in boy, E-C-K. All his books, well, his books with Moody will come up, and they're fabulous books. I've mentioned two of them. There's also a workbook, and there's prayer patterns. He wrote Prayer Patterns for Revival, these beautiful seven prayers that you can read and pray, really, as you're reading them 7 days a week for revival. There's another prayer pattern, kind of like a pamphlet, that just has different scenarios you might be dealing with. So if you have a prodigal, you can get that and read through that prayer. And as you're reading and praying those written prayers, you're learning how to pray victoriously. And then Deeper Walk International is the ministry I mentioned, and their website has a lot of resources as well. So it's important to read biblically balanced books and resources on warfare, and to be equipped that way. And then also, as I've said, dwelling in the Word, just reading God's Word, and especially Ephesians 6 and Psalm 91, I see that as a warfare psalm. It's a psalm of victory. And I read through that so much through the years, both Rick and I did, that we ended up memorizing it and often pray it together that way.
Judy, would you mind to close our time with prayer?
Oh, I'd love to do that, Diane. Let's pray together. Father God, we are so grateful that we can live in the victory that Jesus Christ has already won for us. Jesus, we thank you for choosing to walk this groaning earth and to die for us. And we worship you as the risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the ascended King who is at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us. Thank you that you are our armor, that you cover us from the top of our head to the tip of our toes with your protective armor. Teach us what it means to live in that every day, to stand firm in that, and to pick up the sword of the Spirit, your word that you have left for us to use for worship and for prayer, and as a sword against the enemy's attack coming at us. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for your throne of grace that we can run to you, and help us to live in this victory every single day. We are so grateful that you are truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the line of Judah, and you are on the throne. In your holy and magnificent and very personal name, we pray. Amen.
For comments and questions about today's program, call 423-878-6279 or email us at whcb@thelibrary@gmail.com. For more information about the host, Diane Barker, visit dianebarker.com. Join us again next time for At the Library.